You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
Right, we're going to play a song that we featured last week. It's called Fake It Till You Make It, and it's done by Nicole Carcer. And the reason I'm doing this one now is because in a few minutes' time, we're going to be chatting to her. She's sitting outside waiting to come into the studio. So whilst we set up the studio for her, we'll listen to Fake It Till You Make It. It was a great track that we featured last week, and I think many of you enjoyed that one. So it's coming up now.
Baby, fake it till you make it. Our money sits in Vegas. Fly to exotic places. My body, I like this age. Just get some power in your corner. Don't say I didn't warn you. You must be a performer. Glass diamonds to adorn you. Baby, fake it till you make it. Try not fade away the flavor. Fake it till you make it. Our money sits in Vegas. Fly to exotic places. My body, I like this age. Just get some power in your corner. Don't say I didn't warn you. You must be a performer. Glass diamonds to adorn you. Baby, fake it till you make it.
The lavish party never ends. Out here where everyone pretends. The grand buffet.
That is Fake It Till You Make It, done by Nicole Carcer. Am I pronouncing that correctly? I hope she'll tell me just now. So, hello, Nicole, and welcome to Zone Radio. It's lovely to finally meet you.
It is amazing to be here. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing very well, particularly on this rather chilly evening. And thank you for braving the weather to come and talk to us.
Yeah, it's definitely hot chocolates and Netflix weather this.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm trying to get your levels right, yeah? And mine seem too loud and yours are very soft, so I'm just adjusting here as we speak. Right. Okay. So you've got a very interesting history. So I'm going to explore all of that before we talk about your songs and where you're going in your career. So you haven't always been a musician, have you?
Well, technically, I've always been a musician. I've been doing music from school, but not as a career. So mm-hmm. as a career, I'm actually a pilot. Yeah.
Yes, a Boeing 747 pilot.
A 737 pilot, maybe one day 747, but at the moment, 737s. And I fly for SAF Air at the moment.
Oh, really?
I used to fly for Kalula.
Yes.
But then obviously with COVID, when they went into business rescue, the company closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And now I operate for Fly SAF Air out of Cape Town.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. And domestic flights only, or you do overseas as well?
So at the moment, out of Cape Town, it's only domestic. So I'll operate from here to, let's say, George or mm-hmm. PE, East London, mm-hmm. Lanseria, Johannesburg. But I always end up back in Cape Town. Yeah.
And how do you see out that windscreen? Because you're tiny.
I just adjust the chair. It's fine.
I can't believe something so petite is flying us all over the place.
Everyone always says that, but it's not a problem.
Uh-huh.
Flying an airplane is actually not that difficult. It's like anything, you know, the more you practice it, the easier it
Absolutely.
Gets.
Absolutely. So how did you get into that?
So I've always loved flying. I actually, when I left school, I ended up playing golf for 4 years after school.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad was quite an avid golfer. He loved to play golf. And when I initially, after matric, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do.
Yes.
I was sort of going between maybe I should study musical theater, or I didn't know if I wanted to go to university. So my dad said, well, take a gap year and play golf and let's see how that goes. And then one gap year turned into four gap years, and I ended up playing provincial golf and joining the SA squad in end of 2009.
My word, you're a lady of so many talents.
But then my dad passed away actually in 2009. And then when he passed away, I just decided that the golf was sort of our thing. It wasn't really my thing, and I didn't want to do it for the rest of my life.
Okay.
And before he passed away, we'd briefly spoken about flying and maybe doing a private pilot license just for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And when he passed away, I said to my mom, well, why don't I just go and fly as a career? Because there's no pilots in my family. So before that, I'd never considered that that was actually an option for me.
Okay.
And also because there's obviously not that many females in aviation. It's more now than when I started. Mm-hmm. So September 2010, I went to 43A school and I started and I haven't looked back since. Yeah.
Oh, wow. and it's amazing that you're still doing this, but you were born and raised in Johannesburg, if I remember correctly. Is that correct?
Yes. So I'm from Johannesburg. I moved to Cape Town last year, April. So I've been here for about a year now.
But you were
just over a year.
Weren't you living overseas as well for a while?
No, I've never lived overseas. So I lived in Joburg for my childhood and then a year in Port Alfred when I did the flying
Then
back to Johannesburg and now Cape Town. Yeah.
Sort of in the back of my mind, I seem to remember.
Maybe one day when I fly those 747s.
Maybe I had a premonition for you. That's a very interesting background there. So it's quite varied as well. So, I mean, you've always got something to fall back on, haven't you?
Yes, like I'm one of those busybody people. I don't like to sit still, so I end up doing a million things. I'm also a yoga teacher, actually.
Wow. Okay.
So I've been also practicing yoga for a long time, and when Kome closed down with COVID and all of that, then I'd booked my yoga teacher training and put in leave for that, and then the company closed down, so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to actually just take the 3 months and take sort of a little sabbatical and do the teacher training properly. So that's what I did, and then a month later, I started with Safair again, so then I was back into the flying.
And is Safair doing well at the moment? Because, I mean, there was all sorts of talk about it at straight after COVID, I think. I think people were concerned that they were never really going to get going again, was it? Or am I right?
I think that was a concern for all of the airlines in South Africa, because obviously that period, like Kome was grounded for 9 months. Mm. Safair at least kept operating, obviously at a much reduced schedule.
Yes.
But now, after Kome went down, Safair actually expanded quite a lot. So they're doing quite well. And then my husband also flies, so there's two pilots in the house, but he flies for Airlink.
How do you coordinate your schedules?
It's a bit chaotic, but it's fine.
How often do you see each other? Let me rather ask that way.
We still see each other quite a lot.
Okay,
So there are some days where we miss each other because it's just a busy day, but most of the time it actually works out fine.
Oh, that's amazing. Sure. I don't think I've ever spoken to a pilot and musician ever before, so this is very unusual. Okay, so you say you were always interested in music. So when did this songwriting and producing of songs begin?
So songwriting, probably when I was about 15.
Mm-hmm.
So in primary school, I sort of, I was in school choir, and I did some music lessons, piano and voice mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end of my primary school career, I got a new music teacher, and Greta Bernardi, and she used to write beautiful songs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And her husband was a pastor, and he used to perform live. And she actually got me into starting to write my own music, because at that stage I was only really like playing piano and doing like classical exams and doing like a bit of I Stetford and stuff. And I actually entered my one song into Crescendo that I wrote, and I made it to the semi-final with that. And then during that time, I was doing homeschooling, and I went back to high school, and they moved to George. So I sort of lost touch with her, and I stopped writing for a bit. But that's where my love for the writing started. Then when I was in high school, I was in a band. And that didn't last very long, but it was lots of fun, and I wrote some stuff there. And then obviously life happens, and you have to get a real job. And I was playing golf, and then I actually stopped writing completely until COVID 2020.
Okay.
And when I couldn't fly, and I was sitting at home with literally nothing to do.
Yeah, that's what you turned to.
Yeah, that's what I turned to. I just turned back to music as a way. I suppose it's a way of coping during that time because it was quite a difficult time for everyone.
It was. And I found the one, probably the only good thing that came out of COVID was all this amazing creativity that came out of so many people, because people were just – and the reforming, if I can put it that way, families. Because, I mean, so many people were just kids were over here doing that, doing the next thing. It actually forced everyone to be together and start to learn to get on with each other again. But the creativity that came out, the songs that came out during that period have just been amazing, yours included, of course.
Thank you. Yes, I think it was definitely, it had its positives and negatives. I think economically, obviously, it was a massive negative.
Disaster, yeah.
But definitely I found during that time, it was nice to be able to spend time with friends and family, obviously in your household, because you couldn't really go anywhere for the first couple of weeks. But even like the months following that, people tend, I think they sort of grasped towards their friends to cope with the whole situation, and it actually did end up bringing people a bit closer together.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the spirit of community was amazing as well, that came out of that as well, because people were all there for each other, because everyone was struggling in their own way, whether it be that they lost their job or they couldn't put food on the table. Everyone just rallied together. It was an amazing time from that point of view.
Yeah, and we definitely need more of that, you know, that sense of community.
Yes,
and,
but no more lockdowns.
No more lockdowns, please, no.
So that song that we just listened to, Fake It Till You Make It, I mean, it's a nice, fun tune. It's very different to your other songs that you've submitted to us. Tell us the story behind that one.
So I've written an entire album that's coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So this song will be on the album. And then one of my other songs, Dim the Lights, that I think you guys have also played, will also be on that album. But this song was sort of inspired by we're like in the social media era at the moment where everyone posts photos on Instagram and they have to be perfect. And no one ever talks about what it takes to get to that point, you know, and all the failures and stuff in between. So I was just sort of thinking about how everyone tries to put this picture perfect thing, you know, fake it till you make it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of what the song was about. But I didn't want it to be like another serious,
doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom sort of way of looking at it. More of a fun and exciting and just a song that you can just either listen to and vibe to, or if you want to listen to the words, then, you know, you can listen to the words.
Well, I can picture people actually playing that in their cars on their way to work, just saying they've got a hectic meeting lined up and they're wondering how they're going to get through this meeting. So fake it till you make it. So they just play that song and sing it along all the way to work, and they'll feel so much better by the time they get there.
A bit of self-inspiration there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Nice power song. That's great. And talking about Dim the Lights, I've actually got it lined up to play next. So there we go. So on your album that's coming out, how many tracks are you planning?
It's going to be 12 tracks. Mm-hmm. So they are actually all finished. And I'm just working on the artwork for the final album cover, and then I'm probably going to release it towards November or maybe early in December.
Mm-hmm. And when do you find time for all of this?
Music is my piece, so I have to make time for it. Mm-hmm. So usually I will just, if my husband's flying and I'm home alone, that's normally the best time for me to actually write new stuff. Because I feel like when you write music, you have to sort of get in the zone.
Yeah.
So that's when I'll write. But when I'm practicing and stuff, I normally make a noise and he just has to cope with it.
Is he a musician as well or not really?
He plays a bit of guitar, but he's not really – he doesn't like the limelight. So he would never go and play on a stage and stuff like that.
No. So you're not going to start a band together or a duo or anything like that?
No, because I'd never be able to get him onto the stage. I got him onto a karaoke stage once.
Did you? Well
but
done.
That took a lot of convincing and, you know, a lot of alcohol at a birthday party to get that right. So I think it was a one-time thing.
I think karaoke bars must do exceptionally well in alcohol.
yes, you know, Dutch courage.
Oh, that's lovely. And your songwriting, so do you sit down with a piano or guitar and do you start with your lyrics or do you start with your tune?
So I'll normally start with a chord. So I'll find something that I feel is giving me that feeling, you know, for the day. And that obviously changes depending on my mood or what I've experienced over the weeks prior and stuff like that. And then once I've got sort of a chord progression that I think is nice, then I'll usually either it's something that's happened that I'm going to write about in my own life,
Okay.
Or it will be just a feeling that I get from the music.
Right.
That will inspire sort of the content or what the song is about.
Mm.
And then, yeah, the words, I don't know, they just sort of come to me. It's very weird.
Are they normally very personal songs, or do you just sort of write, as you say, just whatever you're feeling at the time?
A lot of them are personal, but there are also one or two on the album that are just sort of me telling a story, like, that I would imagine. Or maybe even, like, if I've had several experiences and it's sort of the same theme, then I'll write something about that kind of theme and put it all together.
And okay, so how do you get your inspiration? Is it, do you sort of
emotions?
Just emotions.
Just emotions. I feel like if you're going to write a song, then whoever's listening to it must feel something. I feel like that's sort of the point of music, you know,
yeah.
To inspire some kind of thought or some kind of feeling.
Yes, and to evoke those feelings in others.
Yeah,
absolutely.
To be able to identify with the song, or
And where do you see your career going with regard to music? Do you see yourself performing at gigs and expanding on that? Or do you just want to be a songwriter who's known for great music that everyone can listen to?
I would love to play live gigs, but it is so hard to get a foot in the door. So actually, I did do a couple of gigs now. So last year, I played a festival in Johannesburg. And the lady who organized from On Fire Events, she organized that festival. And then she got Jamie Fine to come out to South Africa.
Oh, okay.
And she was here for like a mini tour in Johannesburg and Nelspruit in Cape Town, and I opened for her. So that was an amazing experience. I love that, yeah.
Sounds wonderful. And do you do your own music only, or do you do covers as well? So my standard question, I know, I think the listeners must be sick of me asking that, but there's a reason for it.
I only play originals.
Good for you. That's what I like to hear. Yeah. I chat to so many talented musicians who write exceptional songs, and unfortunately, audiences are wanting them to play covers, and they actually bow down to that. And I'm thinking, just throw in as many of your originals as you can.
So I must say, it was quite an experience, because I obviously played, I was one of the opening artists, so there were other artists too, and they were playing covers and stuff, but I decided right from the beginning that I just don't play covers.
Good.
So it's quite an experience to stand in front of an audience and nobody knows your songs, and you have to sort of get them involved, and so that was quite an interesting show for me to play. But I think from what I could pick up from the audience is they actually quite enjoyed the music. So even though they obviously didn't know the words, so they couldn't sing along, I think they still enjoyed the show. So it just sort of gave me that inspiration that I'm just going to carry on with what I'm doing.
Good.
And eventually
you.
I will get there, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Because let's face it, I mean, the Bob Dylans of this world and the Joan Baezes or whoever, sorry, they're probably all too old for you. They didn't start with other people's songs. They went on stage and performed their own. And that's how people get to know your music. So, yeah, I find it very sad. I really do.
But as long as you can still connect with the people, because like we said, that's what music is about. It's about connection evoking emotion. So I think if you can connect with your audience, it doesn't matter if you're singing your own song or a cover, but then you might as well sing your own song, right?
Absolutely.
Because you're still going to make that connection, and it's something that's personal to you that you're sharing, essentially sharing with the audience.
Yeah. And they'll soon enough let you know if they don't like it.
Exactly, right? Yeah. But they could dislike the cover as well, and then you spent all this time practicing someone else's song when you could have just shared your own music with people.
I like the way you think. So let's get back to your flying schedule. How often do you get to, how many flights a week do you do, for instance?
So it's quite varied.
Yeah.
So every month we'll get a schedule, and it will never be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So like on Thursday morning, I'm quickly going early morning Bloemfontein and back. So that's quite a quick day.
Mm-hmm.
But like the day before yesterday, I had quite a long day. So I went to East London and back, and then to Johannesburg and back in one day.
Yeah. So what happens if you suddenly have this inspiration and you're up in the air?
No. There's no time for inspiration when you're hurtling through the air at 800 kilometers an hour.
don't your thoughts wander while you're up there?
Not really. So most of our routes are quite short.
And you have to concentrate quite strongly.
Yeah, you have to focus. And like if it's a bit of a longer route, like from here to Johannesburg, then I'll normally be chatting to the captain and stuff like that.
Right.
But if I do have inspiration, then I do keep it in the back of my mind, you know, for later.
Do you carry a little notebook with you, or do you just record
stuff
on your phone?
I've got notes on my phone, yes. And sometimes I'll read them again a couple of days later. I'll be like, what was I trying to say to myself there? That was a little cryptic, Nicole.
Have you ever written a song about being a pilot?
I actually haven't. I have thought that maybe I should, but I don't want it to be like too on the nose. So I'm gonna need a bit of time to get it right. But I might still do that. Yes.
Interesting concept. Maybe put people like me who are absolutely terrified of flying. Maybe put our mouths addressed with a nice fun song that I can sing along in my head when I'm on
as we're closing the doors, so you can like relax yourself.
Well, you know, I can't get out anymore. So yeah, you should play it on
over the PA.
Why not? You should do that. You should play your songs anyway.
I don't know if Safi would enjoy that, but maybe.
you won't know until you try. So what's next on the cards for you, apart from your album?
So I'm obviously looking for some live shows. So I have sort of put feelers out there to try and get some live shows going. But being from Johannesburg, I don't really have the contacts in Cape Town yet.
Okay.
But I am working on it. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that. And then other than the album, I've also written an Afrikaans single that I'm going to release next month. I actually wrote a song for my mom.
Okay.
So it's called Story Man.
Okay.
So that's coming. Mm. And then in general, I'm just writing as much as I can and sort of building up a library of my own songs, which hopefully if I can get some live gigs going, I can share that with people.
Absolutely. And there are quite a few festivals and things in the Cape area that maybe you could get yourself involved in. Yes, we did have an Afrikaans song from you before. We've had a couple from you.
Yes, I've been, sending you music for a while.
We've got Dunk on Yo, and we've got Spasi in Your Heart.
Yeah, I think Spasi in Your Heart is probably the nicest song. So I actually wrote that for a friend of mine who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a pilot. His name was Kieler.
Okay.
So that's also quite a personal song. That's
a very personal
song.
One, yeah. So yeah, we've got quite a few of yours. We could almost make up an album here on our database. So I'm looking forward to hearing some more stuff from you. And I had a question on, because I got sidetracked by that now it's gone out of my head. Oh yes, what made you move to Cape Town? That was my question.
What made me move to Cape Town? So many things. I do have family here, so my grandparents stay here and a couple of my aunts and stuff, so I've got family here. So we used to come here on holiday almost every year. And it's just the lifestyle for me was much better. I find in Johannesburg, like, it's becoming very difficult to just get outdoors, and I quite enjoy going for a hike or you know, just getting out of the house. So to get in your car in Johannesburg and then you have to drive to the Magaliesburg to like go on a decent hike was just the lifestyle wasn't working for me anymore.
Okay.
And Cape Town is beautiful.
And you live in the city centre?
Yeah. So I live in Sea Point. So I get to go run on the prom or walk on the beach or walk around the mountain. Everything's so accessible. So
it's a lovely area. And the climate on that side is slightly better than ours here.
I came around the mountain now and it started raining, I was like, oh, it's like being in a different country. But it's nice though. It's like cozy.
And how do you find that the Cape Townians have responded to you? Because I know years and years ago when I moved from Joburg to Cape Town, there was this whole stigma about Joburg people that nobody wanted us and they didn't want to know you and didn't want to talk to you. And it took a long time to get to know and to meet people here in Cape Town. But I think things have changed now, haven't they?
I think they're getting used to us all just moving here from Joburg.
I think there's so many of you, or us, should I say.
Every second person you speak to is from Joburg now.
Absolutely,
it's crazy.
Yeah. They're kind of taking over Cape Town.
So, yeah, it's going well. I quite enjoy that first Thursdays that they've got going. I don't know if you know about that in town. So every first Thursday, they like open a lot of the art galleries and stuff in the restaurants, and people walk from pub to pub. It's quite,
They've started that in Cork Bay. They started that a few months ago, doing that in Cork Bay as well. So that sort of area, you sort of park your car. I don't know where you park in Cork Bay. I never find parking. And then you just walk to different restaurants and pubs and art galleries and so on. So I think that's a lovely concept. It really is. And yeah, maybe you can start performing at some of those restaurants.
I'm working on it. Judy, I am.
I'm sure you are. Yeah. Well, always keep us informed of your gigs, because we'll always let people know where you are performing. And hopefully we'll get you to perform in the Valley one of these days.
That would be amazing.
Yes. All right. So how do people get to hear your music apart from on Zone Radio, of course?
So my music is available on all the streaming platforms, so like iTunes or Spotify, YouTube Music. So most of them, you'll find it there. Or my social media, I'm on Facebook as Nicole Kolser. I've got a Facebook page. And I'm also on TikTok and Instagram as Nicole Kolser, and on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Carlse, right?
Yes, I know. People always struggle with the surname. That is
I was
correct.
Wondering, is it Carlse? Is it Carlse? So I pronounced it correctly.
You did, yeah, Carlse. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. I got something right. It's always nice to get something right.
But I've heard some interesting renditions, so don't feel bad.
you mishear me pronounce some of the names that I have to read out on this show particularly. It's quite daunting because they should actually put in brackets, pronounce as such. And then
or
I
send
know.
A little voice note.
Yes. Yeah, that would help. That would help. All right. So your album's coming out when, do you think?
I haven't got an exact date, but probably towards the end of November, beginning December. But I will post about it on my social media and stuff. So
I'm
if you
sure
follow
you
me
will.
On Facebook or Instagram
okay.
or TikTok, then.
Well, I'll certainly be doing that. I'll be going. Are you on Instagram as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of tend to do that sort of follow on Instagram because it's not as difficult to wade through. I find that whoever you're following comes up first, whereas Facebook, you've got a whole lot of other stuff to wade through.
I've also found that lately.
And then a lot of people that you've known for years, you never see posts from them, and you think, what's happened to that person? You go there and you see they've made a whole lot of posts.
You just don't know about it,
That's why I prefer Instagram personally now for following musicians particularly, because that's always updated and I always get to see what's happening. So I'll definitely be following you on that.
Wonderful. See you there.
And listeners, we hope you're going to do the same. And we hope you're going to be requesting a lot of Nicole's songs on Zone Radio. Get to know her music, because when you go and see her live, you are only going to hear her original music. So at least then when you go to the concert, you can actually recognize the songs.
And sing along.
And sing along. That'll be awesome. Nicole, thank you so much for coming in. It's been absolutely wonderful meeting you. No, is there anything else you want to share with the listeners before you leave?
I just want to say thank you guys for having me here. And it's been wonderful meeting all of you and actually being able to come into studio, because I've only ever chatted to you guys over the phone. So it's nice to finally put the face to the name, and I hope, listeners, that you enjoy the song.
I'm sure they will, and we're going to play another one of yours coming up straight after an ad. We're going to play Dim the Lights, as I said earlier. So thank you, and please drive carefully. The weather is a bit foul out there.
Thank you.
Travel safely back to Sea Point, and we hope to see you again very soon.
Definitely.
Zone Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole. Bye-bye.
Curls fleck through her hair, always acts like she don't care. She's in your head. Leave a message on my phone, asking can we talk alone. Not quite sure what I should say. You're killing me. Let's get out of here. Up through the tension in the air. Find a place with no one there. Lonely hearts that fall too far. Your silver tongue, a work of art. You've left a mark. Give up your pretense at the door. Don't know who you came here for. Withdraw the look that says it all. You take the fall. Let's get out of here. Up through the tension in the air. Find a place with no one there. Feelings more than I can take. Let's get out of here. Up through the tension in the air. Find a place with no one there. Dim the lights till we're both there. I fall to the floor. You're here with her. You said you want more. But here, cut through the tension in the air. Find a place with no one there. Dim the lights till we're both there. I fall to the floor. You're here with her. You said you want more, but that was before you walked out that door.
That was the delightful singer-songwriter from right here in Cape Town. She's just recently moved to Cape Town, so let's give her a warm Cape Townian welcome and hope to hear lots more from her. She's an incredibly talented musician. Her name is Nicole Carlser. That one was called Dim the Lights. And, well, I really enjoy her music, and we've got about 8 or 9 of her tracks now already. So if you want to hear more of her, you know what to do. On Zone Radio, you just have to request them, and we will play them for you. And she's written some incredible songs. She truly has. So I hope that Cape Townians are going to welcome her and welcome her original songs that she will only perform. And I love that. I really do. I love that concept. As you all know, I'm very passionate about original material.